scriptures. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is here with us, as you promised. Lord, we just open our heart to you to receive your truth, your word. Lord, your love. We just ask you, Lord, that our mind may be clear and listening to your word, open to your direction. Give us the understanding, give us the wisdom to be able to apply your word to our life, Lord, and be transformed according to your plan. We just praise you and thank you for that and give you all the honor and the glory to you. Let, Lord, your spirit minister life, strength, healing, deliverance, everything that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to start with the last scripture that I used last Sunday. There was Psalm 27, verse 1. Okay, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Praise the Lord. This is actually really a scripture that is packed with lots of understanding and information, even if it's that short. Because, it reveals to us some important ideas that we need to understand. It reveals, first of all, the fact of the connection David had in relating to the Lord. It's his relationship, okay? The fact that he just addressed the Lord and he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." You see, the salvation, the freedom, all the things I was talking about after, you know, the deliverance from the influence of the world and everything else, or the ability to have, not to be afraid, the ability to, have strength, spiritual strength in his life, dependent on the Lord. And the fact that it's called the Lord, implies that he's not just God generally up there, but he's the one that actually is our Lord. Has to be, for us to be able to receive those things, he has to be the Lord of our life. That means the boss. That means the one that, to which we are submitted. We are open for direction. We are given the direction in our life. We are given the instruction how to live. Okay? This is essential to experience all the other things. If there is no lordship, there is no relationship. Because the only way to approach God is in our submission, in our being open to be directed and guided and instructed and taught and ministered to in all things. We are not independent, self-sufficient. Not according to Christianity. This is what our nature would like most of the time, the fallen nature, but not the way God wants us to be in the attitude, in position, in the relationship that we have with him. We have to be learning to become dependent on him, because this is actually what Jesus' example was for us. You know, he was completely dependent on the direction of the Father. His plans, his ideas, his judgment, his the way he looked at things were depending on what the Father's judgment were, what was actually in the world. Okay, that is what makes the difference. What means if we call him Lord? You see, it's not just a name. It's really a relationship. The basis of our relationship with him is his lordship. Okay, we are his people. Praise the Lord. And so we are there, and that involved, obeying his commands. involve, you know, hearing his voice. That's the only way to hear his voice, actually. Jesus said, you know, my sheep hear my voice. Well, the idea of sheep, you know, that they have a shepherd. Okay, the idea of sheep, that they are following the shepherd. They are not goats. Okay, they don't talk my goats. Okay, actually make the distinction between goats and sheep. You know, the goats are the one that actually should be sheep, but they are not sheep. Okay, and so they want to do their own thing, and they don't follow his direction. Okay, that's where, you know, this we can connect with him. That's where, you know, the whole Psalm 23, okay, give us an idea of, you know, the relationship, the connection. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, okay, he's the Lord. Okay, that idea, that concept, you know, we get used to words and they don't mean anymore, you know, the really intention or the purpose that they have for. Okay, here, you know, the fact that we call God the Lord is an implication there. And the implication is the way we relate to him as being our Lord, as being our, the one that gives us direction, the one that we depend on in making our decisions. Praise the Lord. Because if we don't do that, we are on our own. We are not going to be able to get the direction that we need. We don't get the wisdom. We don't get the power. We don't get his power anyway. We don't get, you know, the understanding that we need to deal with the situation around us. And we don't get his protection. So to get his protection, he has to be Lord. Now, there is a degree of protection that is for everything and everybody, otherwise the whole world will come apart. But that's not enough. What we need is really what he wants to give to us, which is personal relationship, personal protection, personal direction. You see? That's why he says, the Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd, you know, doesn't let the sheep go wherever they want, direct them in the right place. And that way, he can bring them in the right place so that they can be, you know, going to green pasture instead of going to places that are not good. You know, instead of going places there is no water for them to drink, in which there is, you know, they are not getting the direction that we need, they cannot be satisfied and restored in their soul. If we are not restored as believers, that means that we are not listening enough. We should be more connected with him, because our relationship with him, the purpose of that relationship with him, is to give us strength. If we have fear in our life, it's because there is not enough of a connection between us and him. Because out of that connection, out of that dependency that we have on him, come the strength and come the removal of all fear. Because in the love that he has for us, we find the peace, the protection, and the direction that we need. So the way we feel, this is why, you know, Psalm 18 talks about the fact that the way we see God is really determined by our relationship we have with him, or the way we are connected with him. If we see God as a good father, it's because we deal with him as a good father. But if we think it's somebody that is there to get us and to take away all the toys from us and to do all the things that we don't like, there's not going to be a good relationship there. Okay. And we can see, you know, the way this works. And it's not just, you see, making him Lord is not a one-time deal thing or decision that we make. This is a decision that we make moment by moment, in which we walk, each step we take. Are you following me? You see, it's not just, you know, walking with God, you know, doing the things that are good for us. It's not just, okay, making a decision sometime, and then, you know, everything is taken care of. No. That's just the beginning of a relationship, just the same as a relationship with anybody else. Okay. If you have a relationship with a person, then you have to interact, deal with them, you know, day by day. And that each thing you do is going to have an effect on that relationship. And there is no any difference. God is a person as well. And so there is the same type of principle operating and functioning in our relationship with him. Okay, he wants to restore and satisfy us and bless us and take care of us. But he is not controlling. He does not control anybody. He lets you do what you want, because what you want determines the relationship you have with him. And he lets you do whatever you want, although he will try to minister to you and he will try to correct you when you get off, if you don't listen. That's the understanding that we have to have. Okay? See, in approaching God, we cannot go according to our own ideas. We have to go according to his ideas, because he's the one determining the principle and the things that, you know, the Bible call it the law, whatever it is, and Old Testament, New Testament. But God didn't change. God is always the same. It's the way we understand and the way we connect with him that changed, because we had more understanding, more revelation that Jesus brought that was not available before. That he, you know, in many different ways, okay, contributed to our understanding, not just by his teaching, but even his example, the way, you know, the things that he made available to us as a result of his being there and what he did for us. So, but the principles are really the same. And sometimes, you know, for many believers of today, would be a good idea if they go to the Old Testament and read some of the beginning information there, because this is critical to understand the New Testament. It's not that what is said in the Old Testament is wrong. If you go to Deuteronomy, you find, for example, the principle according to which things work, the laws, the decree. These are the God decrees. They are state that they established the principle and the law that God has created that is independent of you, but it's the same all the time. And sometimes, because of the way in Christianity things are preached, you know, they talk about all the things that people like to hear and not the things that people don't want to hear. And that produces the wrong understanding, the wrong balance in the people's life, and they get off that way because they are not really fully connected with God. They're connected with their own will, their own ideas. Okay. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 says, you know, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you. Okay. And it says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendant should live. Okay. This is the same today. Okay, we all have choices to make. And the choices depending on what? The choices that we make depend on our understanding. Okay, God has not changed. The principles are the same. Okay, the principle that working was actually the law or the decrees that God did at the beginning. And he established all the laws. All the principles according to which what if something is right or wrong. It's not the way you feel, it's the way he said if something is right or wrong. We have to understand that. Okay. He okay, put that, those principles into the word, his word. And we had to go to his word to really understand, okay, these things properly, but not just taking the part that we like of the law and the part of the word of God. We had to take everything. Because if we are selective, you know, we cannot satisfy him. We cannot please him. At the end of the Bible says very clearly that we cannot add or subtract anything from the word. If we don't understand that, and we start removing pages because we don't want to read them, we are not going to be blessed. Okay? To be blessed, we have to be open. See, I can see lots of time, you know, you on YouTube or other places, you go and read, listen to some preachers. And they make statements about things that are wrong, completely wrong, but they have a big following. And why is that happen? Because they take only some scripture and they ignore all the other scriptures. If you find one scripture that contradicts what somebody preaches, you should reject the whole thing. Because that is indication that there is not, that they need to understand more and they are going to influence you to do the wrong thing in some particular area that they are ignoring. You see, that's the way to be protected. We have to understand that we shouldn't pick and choose only the topics that we feel comfortable with and just ignore the ones that are there pretty evidently written because, that doesn't feel good. It's not a question of feelings. See, our relationship with God is not based on feelings. The feelings comes, the right feeling comes when we are doing the right thing, when we are following him, when we are obeying him. Okay, but, you know, here he's talking very clearly about blessing and cursing. And, you know, I don't like the curses. Well, I think actually this is a good thing to actually read the curses. Because you will see how much value God gives to his position. Excuse me a moment. He cares, and that's why he warns us. He wants us to know so that we don't go our own ways and we listen to him. Okay. But the idea that he says, today I put you before life and death, cursing and cursing. Therefore, choose. Okay. Choose life. That means if he has to choose life, he wouldn't tell you choose life because if you could not choose. Okay? The implication is that you have the ability to choose what you want. Excuse me. But we have to understand that to be able to choose the right thing, we have to have a reference point. It's not just our feelings. It's not just our emotions. You see, feelings and emotions are the voice of your flesh. And that means are influenced by your senses, what you see, what you hear, what you can touch and feel, what you taste, and what you smell. Those things are not stable, they change from moment to moment. They're influencing you and pushing you around all over the place, are not reliable. Okay. There is only one thing is reliable, is the word. That doesn't change. That has been established from the beginning. No one fiddle, no one, you know, comma, where anything is going to be changed. The whole thing is going to remain forever from the beginning. It's been established. Okay, those are, this is, he's been speaking through the, who people put it together, but he was the one, the Holy Spirit was the one that actually was speaking and producing that result. If one just do a study on the Word of God, one can understand actually the how it was put together, how it was organized, how reliable and how, you know, perfect it is. Even if it was done in a way that should be chaotic, but you can put all those books together and there is no, no matter what anybody says, there is no more contradiction there. By itself, that is probably the biggest miracle that can happen with all so many different people. You can get two people agree the same thing. Okay. If they're not directed by the same spirit. Anyway, so let me continue. So we had to, you know, learn to not depend on our feelings, not depend on what our senses, but depend on God's voice. Because it says, you know, there, you know, in the following verse, verse 20 of Deuteronomy chapter 20, you know, is that how it shows how we choose between life and death. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him. And he is, for he is your life, the length of your days, by, and that by you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Now, first of all, it wasn't just for Abraham, Adam, and Jacob. You know, it wasn't just for that particular people. It was for anybody. These were the people, the only people that actually were connecting with him in a way that they, you know, he could use them to continue to communicate to us. If you are a believer, you should be able to connect with him too. You should be able to hear his voice. Okay, so it says here, you know, that you may love your God, that may obey his voice. How can you obey his voice if you don't hear it? That means the implication there is the fact that you actually, you know, can hear him. He speaks to you, and you have to start recognizing what it means to speak to you, to recognize his voice. Jesus said, you know, my sheep hear my voice. And they recognize me. Okay, so the idea is that, you know, there has to be, if we don't have the ability to hear God's voice, that means there is a problem in our interaction, in our relationship. Okay, so we may love the Lord your God. And again, it's the emphasis on his lordship, okay? So you may love his lordship, the fact that you are dependent on him. You don't are not rebellious. You don't want to do your own thing. You want to be submitted to him. You are going to be his, you know, the sheep of his pastor, okay? Then the other thing is obey his voice. So you have to be there, evidently hear his voice. And, you know, after you hear your voice, you cling to him. You know, they cling to him, you know, when somebody's clingy, you know, is that means they're really attached to the person they follow him all the time. They will go always after him. Okay. Now, the implication there is that there are things trying to separate you from him, the things in the world. And so instead you are there hanging on to him. Okay, this is something that is not bad, it's something that you have to do. Okay, only then, okay, it will be the length of your day. You are going to have a good life, you're going to have a long life. Not only that, but you may dwell in the land which elsewhere, you know, promised before. That means it was a land with flowing with milk and honey. I mean, there are going to be abundance, there are going to be feeling good. You know, that's not a prosperity message. This is a question that you are going to have that relationship that keeps you together with him, and you have what you need. Okay? So, he is the one instructing us. Okay? And the implication is this, there has to be this love of his lordship. We had to want to connect with him more than anything else. And the first commandment shows it very clearly. He has to be number one, the first relationship, the first, you know, commitment that we have. Okay. He is going to be the result. He is going to be what's called, you know, the scripture I read at the beginning, you know, is my light and my salvation. See, the deliverance from all the result of the fall is going to be taken care of in a systematic, organized, proper way. So, okay, and it's not just a one choice of a day that we make, it's clinging to him. That means we have to be really, learn to be dependent. That, unfortunately, is against our fallen nature. We like to make our own decisions. And we had to learn not to do that. We had to make our decision according to his ways. In some way, you know, we sometimes have a problem with that. Okay. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 13 says, okay, it shows, you know, God's plan for us. Okay. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully on the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So here he's giving us some, you know, therefore, gird up your loins. He really was talking about, you know, prepare your mind, prepare yourself, prepare, you know, prepare you the way you are so that you can connect with him, being sober. Don't be carried away. Take your time, okay? And, you know, rest your hope. That means, you know, practically, you know, that what is the, you know, the where you set up yourself, okay? Where you set your hope is on the grace of God. That means the what you actually, the grace is the gift, is not what you deserve, is not what, but what he has promised, what he made available for us. So, but you have to make the connection with him about that. Okay? So, and the goal, the idea, the vision that motivated, they give you direction. So if you don't have a proper direction, a proper goal, you're going to go and change and be tossed around all over the place. Here you have to have something that give you a clear direction of the things you do according to the place where you want to go. If you want to go to a place, you have to have a plan. You have to have a goal to go to. And here he's saying, you know, that our goal is not a short-term goal. Every minute you go around changing direction, he said you have to keep on the same direction all the time. And that direction is determined what's going to be not tomorrow, not now, not tomorrow. It's going to be when Jesus comes back. Because that is when the full manifestation of our salvation is going to take place. Okay. So, but if you don't have that kind of direction, I mean, that's really thinking just the opposite of what we think today. Now, yeah, everything, you know, I want something tomorrow, yesterday. You know, I want something quick. It's not something quick. There is nothing quick with the Lord. He has all the time in the world. Okay? And we had to start to plan our life in the same way. We had to start planning our life according to God's perspective that he really says, you know, put your hope in me and follow me. He is our shepherd. When we start looking at things like that, we are not going to go zigzag and waste all your energy. You know, pass your life at the end and say, you know, I didn't get anywhere because I was in Brownian motion. You know, I was going all over the place according to where the wind blows, and every change day is different. I'm going to go after the hope that is there and work toward that. Okay, this has to be the criteria, the decision, okay, the way in which we come to the decision depending on that hope that motivates us to follow God, to follow the Lord, to have that relationship with Him that keep us through His word, guiding us day by day. Are you following me? See, this is actually the relationship that should be taking place. Okay, we have to prepare ourselves for when Jesus come back. If he come back tomorrow or come back in 1,000 years, doesn't make any difference. It was the same thing, but when that keeps, that direction keep, we are going to keep going on a straight line, not going all over the place. Okay, so. And then goes on in specifying even some more. So first we have to set ourselves up with the goal. What is the final goal? Second, okay, in verse 14, okay, says, as obedient children, you see, obedience is becoming an important factor. That means, you know, obedience means you have to ask him, we have to hear the voice. Without hearing the voice, you cannot be obedient, okay? So, obedient children, not conforming yourself with the former lust and as in your ignorance. So the idea here is that, you know, you shouldn't conform yourself with the way the world goes in general, but you have to, you know, the way is natural for us. Last, if you want to put desire, you know, the former desire that you have when you didn't know him. He says, you know, you have to be obedient, not conforming with the way just your feeling, your desires are, but according to God's principle that he's teaching you, okay? You know, that we before, when you were ignorant, now you should know better because you must have been hearing your voice and you should get the direction that you need. From that, they continue in verse 15, but as you are called, but he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in your own conduct. So here is the teaching, actually, you know, that God, okay, is wanting to be holy, which means separated from the ideas of the world, from the things of the world. It says, you know, God is holy and he's calling you to holiness. Now, you know, you are not going to get that. You're not going to get the whole thing, you know, at the beginning. You're going to have some information, and that information in which you are obeying God, you are going to be sanctified, you are going to be holy, but the stuff you don't know, you cannot do. Okay, that's why he's keep talking to you. Okay, he wants to keep you informed. And he's not going to do it according to random ideas. He knows exactly what you need at each particular time, and he's going to use his voice is going to be on you if you're listening about the specific things that you work now, not tomorrow. And nobody can tell you that, because they have their own ideas, their own, you know, development, the things that they know and they don't know. No, God knows what you know and what you don't know, and so he's going to direct you specifically in the things that you need to know. You know, lots of people, they think, you know, but this sounds like, you know, ethereal, kind of funny. You know, well, that's the way it is. That's the way the Bible's written. Okay, you cannot go just by your mind. You have to go, you know, with your relationship with God in a personal way. Otherwise, you get into the formula, your own understanding, you get stuck. If you don't hear God, you cannot get progressing spiritually, period. You're going to get religious, but not really be able to grow spiritually. You have to seek him and be willing to change your desires according to his principles. And he's going to mess up all the things that you wanted most of the time. because he sees things differently than we do. Because we think that depending on the physical things around us, and he is just thinking according to his own plan that he can see ahead of time. And he's going to guide you in that direction. He should be your GPS. Okay, but it's not. But, you know, even in the Word, you can go and read, start everywhere else. He's going to show you the scripture that applies to you now. As you are walking, as you are asking, as you are listening. And he will quicken to you those scriptures, those ideas. Won't tell you stuff that is not in the Word. Just like, you know, the way you distinguish teaching of the truth and not the truth, okay, by the Word. So even by what you get from God is based on the Word. So if you get stuff that is not in the Word, just leave it. Look for it. Check it out. Anything you get, you check it out, has to be there. It has to be clear. Otherwise, you can make up stuff. You know, people that, mystics, they come up with the craziest ideas. Most of the heresies in Christianity come from mystics that really didn't have the relationship with God, but were trying to be special, was trying to be religious. Instead of being humble before God and submit themselves to the Word of God, they come up with stuff that's not even in the Word, and they think it's real because it's been producted by their meditation, their thinking, their spiritual connection. God is not a funny spirit. The Holy Spirit is real. His function is important today. He is the guide that he has given to us. That's the difference between Old Testament and New Testament. The New Testament, you know, the Old Testament didn't have the Holy Spirit, so only some people had it, and they wrote the Bible. And the whole Bible has been written now. So we have a reference point. And that was Jesus came and finished that part of these things. Now, you know, instead of having to have people going around and telling you new things, God is speaking to you about your own stuff. The stuff that you had to change, the stuff that you had to guide you, the understanding that you need to be able to walk according to his way that was given before. But he's giving you the reference point that is in the Word already. And so you can check it out. And you have to learn to check it out. You have to be so familiar with the Word that you can do that work yourself. And today is much better than before, because you can even use the computer to look for stuff. You can, you know, have books all over the place. In those days in the Old Testament, you know, you had to be a, you know, millionaire of the day to be able to have the book, the scroll that were needed. So today we are blessed. We have no justification for not listening, for not growing in him. Okay. And so we had to learn to do that. Be holy, you know, continue call to be holy, for also be holy as your conduct, because what is written in Philippians 1:16, be holy for I am holy. So this is really the goal that we had to go to. This is what's going to happen at the end. And we had to be moving in that direction, because, you know, and he's there to help us to clean ourselves up, to grow in him, to enter in that relationship that takes place. Praise the Lord. It's not your work, it's your obedience that actually is your work. So the Lord gave me a parallel here. It comes from something I taught last week. Okay, the three elements that were there were love, you know, as we love God, because we love God, we are obedient. because we are obedient. We have fellowship with him because we follow him. We are united with him. And as we are united with him, we are pleasing him because we are doing the things of pleasing him. And so he rewards us. And because he rewards us, you know, we get blessed because he blesses us. And because we get blessed, what happens? We love him more. So, you know, that process, those three things going on almost at the same time, but really, you know, they are really steps that we take, okay? They work like a staircase, okay? That start from one to the other, okay? I call it the ascending positive staircase to unto holiness. Okay, what you go, you go up each ramp, and each new ramp, you go to a new level, and then from the new level, the same thing repeats again. Okay, love, obedience, and fellowship. Okay, and the idea of a you know, staircase helps us to visualize this. Okay, the fact that we start moving from ground floor to the first floor by loving God. That's the way it starts, at the beginning, when we are born again, okay? Before, we didn't love God, but because one way or another, he come across to us, and we were open enough to hear and see, and we start connecting with what Jesus did. He came to actually enable us to make that connection, you know? Then we start loving God because we are grateful for the thing, for Jesus dying for us. See, that's a starting point of that progress on which love starts to develop in us, okay? And, you know, we start from ground floor that we don't have love, but... this is the right one? I want to make sure. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So we receive God, love, and we start perceiving, okay, because we start perceiving what Jesus did with his death on the cross, and what he has done, okay? And in Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, you know, in hope that we have, you see, start to have that hope for the people Peter was talking about, for the hope that, of preparing yourself for the hope that's going to be after the end, which is our salvation, that complete salvation. That's going to come when Jesus comes, okay? And really, you know, with that hope, you know, that hope that we have, that is really something that we cannot do ourselves, that we are just on the process of doing, okay, does not put us to shame. That means, you know, that we are not hoping for something that can't happen. It's something that is going to happen if we hold on. Because God's love has been poured out in our heart through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So you see, that the first thing, the Holy Spirit comes to us. We are hoping, you know, we respond to Jesus' love. And we, because we receive the love, we start having love toward God. And our love toward God produces something in us. It's not just a word. Oh, I love you, it means nothing. No, if I love you, that means I want to please you. Okay? So, you know, with that comes from what? From believing and expecting what the promise is, that we are going to be completely delivered and set free. And we start believing that, okay? That expectation is important because, first of all, it's a manifestation of the work of the Holy Spirit. Second, it's a motivation for us to keep going and to keep continuing in the same direction, okay? It's not just information about the fact, okay? It produces in us a change of heart, which is really, call it repentance, call it the way you want, okay? Our hope is the expectation of our salvation that is there motivating us, realizing that just because we made a decision yesterday is not the end of the story, this is just the beginning, okay? Okay. And with that hope, you know, there is comes the power that is in that, that start manifesting and operating in us. And realize, you know, the following verse, Romans 5, 6, that while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Okay, really, the right time for us is the time in which we see that. we make the decision immediately, right? But each different person happen at different times. Okay, so you know, at the right time, we start receiving what he has done, becomes a reality in our life, and what happens to us, we respond with love. Okay. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. So you see, our response to that, what does happen? Well, that becomes, you know, the motion from, you know, floor, first floor, upper floor, second floor, okay, which is obedience. Through obedience, we move to a place in which we are doing what God wants because of the love we have for him. If we don't have the love for him, we are not going to do, we are not care, don't care about doing the things he wants. But the very moment we want to do is, you know, the meaning of loving him is really to want to please him. And if we don't want to please him, that means we don't love him. Scriptures, Jesus said exactly that. If you don't obey my commandment, you don't love me, we don't love you. You're not going to get any benefit. Okay, so the idea is here that there is going to be a relationship to start, and we start with obedience, we come second floor. The second floor is really the fulfillment of John 14:23 that says, you know, if any loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him and will come to him and make home with him. You know, now he's talking about, you know, as our love for him is growing, in, you know, and we start obeying him, he's going to love us even more. The love that he has for us, you know, loving, God loves us means, Lord, that he finds favor with him, that he's helping us, that he's empowering us, that he's delivering us, he's healing us, or whatever it is. In the relationship, he gives to us. Because when you love somebody, you do the things for that person. Okay? And we'll come to him and make our home in him. So you see, there is a greater fellowship, a greater relationship. And as you obey him, you know, something happens, okay? That we start being obedient more, okay? So from that level, okay, start the fact that God starts loving even more, okay? Not only that, but we start even loving others. You know, in 1 John 4:20 says, you know, if anyone say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he does not love his brother who has not seen, who has seen, cannot love God who he has not seen. So the idea is that, you know, that love spreads, not just loving God, not just doing the right thing, but wanting to help others as well. Okay. And that, you know, as a result of that, the fact that we are starting to act, you know, moves us up from the second floor to the third floor. Okay, that, you know, is the closer fellowship. As we are obedient, we get closer to God. We got close to God at the beginning, but now it's getting better all the time. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, our love and relationship that is growing, our closeness with God, what does it do? It makes you more connected with him, makes us more able to hear his voice, and so he's going to, we are going to be able to get and understand and connect with him better and better. And this is, at this point, you know, we are back into the love of God, and the old cycle repeats again. And we keep going up, closer to the Lord. And as we go up closer to the Lord, what happens? One of the things, the transformation that takes place, and we get separated more and more from the attachment to the things of the world, and we get more and more attached to the things of God. That means closer to God. That means holier, automatically, separated from the world. Okay. Now, this is the positive, okay, staircase. But there is also a negative staircase. And the negative staircase doesn't start with God. You see, this, the positive staircase, starts with God. He loves us through what Jesus did, and he keeps doing that more and more as we respond. Okay, but the negative staircase is, you know, if you're any place we are, in our relationship with God. And we get rebellious. We get, you know, wanting to do our own thing. Don't do the things that God wants us to do. Then that produces disobedience. Disobedience, okay, has an effect on our relationship with God, because, you know, God does not like, he's not pleased by the relationship. He's going to cool down in dealing with us. And if the situation is serious, he's going to try to communicate to us. But if you are in rebellion and you don't want to listen, when we are in rebellion means we don't want to listen. So because we don't want to listen, generally, why don't we want to listen? Because there is something that you care more about than doing this will that it is for us to do. Okay? If we care to do other things more than what God tells us to do, we are going to be disobedient. Simple as that. And as a result of that, what happens? That he's going to try to communicate to us, doesn't get anywhere, and sometimes if the situation is serious, he's even trying to try to correct us. He's going to remove things, you know, like a good parent. And we are not going to like that even more, because he's not coming across about the things that we want. What happens? Okay, because we are disobedient, we are going to experience incorrection. If you experience incorrection, what happens going to happen? We are going to like it even less. We are going to really be more resentful. Because we are more resentful, we lack gratitude. See, resentful or lacking gratitude toward God means less love. So the relationship we have with God is going to decrease. And you can keep going on. And that's what I explained without going to the detail of that. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's going to go down, as is explained in Romans chapter 1, verse 15 to the end of the chapter. Okay? You just start, God let you go where you want to go. It's not a good place. Because, you know, you lose the connection, you lose the blessing, but not just the blessing, you just, you know, go more and more into condemnation and in the wrong thing. Okay, so we can reverse the cycle. And with that, probably are going to finish for today. We can reverse the cycle. The cycle is that God has provided the solution. Jesus came exactly for that. Okay, like the prodigal son, we had to realize, well, I'm really not that smart here. This is not the right thing to do. Okay? We had to really come to our senses, and instead of going by our feeling, we go by what the word says. We start believing what God has said. We remember what God did for us. And so we go back and know that we can expect God's blessings, and if we are not getting blessed, we had to do something. And God expects us to do something, to go to him, to make a connection and to start loving him more than the other things that separated us from God. And we can turn around from going up, we go, you know, from going down, we start going up. Praise the Lord. So we can, change, you know, but how do you actually can get to that point? Well, you know, there are two ways. Either that you start reading, thinking what Jesus said, the fact that you are not happy in the situation you are in, you want. But maybe, you know, one good way is actually to read Deuteronomy chapter 27 to 30, all the blessing and the curses. It says, choose. Choose where you go by. Okay, I mean, this is really a selfish way of looking at it, but really, God doesn't mind. That's why he told us. And we make those decisions. You start making the decision, and we take Jesus as our Lord. That's the key. The Lordship of Jesus is the key for us to grow into holiness. That is the goal that God has for us. separation from the world, becoming more and more like Jesus was, and starting to manifest, okay, his goals, his perspective, his desire, his will in our life. Seeking his will doesn't mean to try to find out things that we want to do. It means that we find out things he wants us to do because he made that for that purpose. Sometimes it's not quite that way that we want to use God to get what the things we want. And that doesn't work. God made us for a specific purpose, for a specific goal in his mind. And when we start seeking what he wants for us, then we are going to know his perfect will for us. That's what the renewal of the mind, which is really the connecting with God, so that he can speak to us through the word, is going to bring us to the place in which we can prove what the will of God is, that we can know exactly what he wants us to do. I can share you about, you know, how he changes sometimes your life completely. And he should. I didn't understand all these things before, but, you know, actually he did that. I was keen. I was a scientist. And I was completely dedicated. I was an atheist. Completely dedicated because I thought that, you know, I saw religion. I tried before to connect with God. Nobody could answer any of my questions. And I was saying, well, I can't get, you know, I trusted that, you know, possibly science and truth, I was going to get the truth, I was going to get to science. But I went there and I was very dedicated. I mean, I was working really hard. You know, in the few years that I was doing that, I did some pretty good things. You know, I could share some stuff. You know, now they're starting to do some work on the work that I was did 30 years ago. Just some other areas they didn't even start. But anyway, when I was just before I met the Lord, I went to a convention, international convention in Boulder, Colorado, presented some papers there, and I was completely turned off by what was going on. I've been up to other before. I was completely turned off because of the people, the way the people were. They were fighting with each other. They, you know, they were talking, yes, screaming at each other sometimes. I could go in more in detail, but I won't. Anyway, the idea I was completely turned off. I said, you know, this is not truth. This is playing games and pride and everything else. So I was kind of really turned off by the whole thing. I thought that I was doing something that where people were looking for the truth. They weren't. And so I just kind of devastated my zeal for science. And that is when God gave me a revelation and gave me a vision one day in which he showed the love that he had actually for us. How the way he created the world before when it was in the Garden of Eden. And I'm not going to go too much into the detail. I understood only part of it. But with time, I understood better. But the point is, I was ticked off. And within a week, he told me, you should quit. I was working at the National Research Council. I just finished with writing a paper that had lots of request piles. And he told me, you know, you should quit. You should get more involved with people. I was kind of in the ivory tower of science. And what happened is I say, okay, well, what do I do? Go back to university. So what I did, it was actually pick up the phone, call the University of Ottawa. It was the last day I could apply for that year. I was working there, so my boss wasn't there at the time. So I went and applied myself. You know, my area was good, it was math. I said, well, I can do in business. I can do something with business environment. I'm going to be dealing with people. And what happened is that I didn't know what to do. I had a family with my wife and children and so on. So I had to get some money. My wife couldn't work at that time. Anyway, I didn't find a job, but I applied anyway. And when my boss came, I told him that I went back to university and I was quitting from NRC, the National Research Council. He looked at me and said, no, what you did, I had been there for about 2 months. Okay, I came in September, and that was 2 weeks before Christmas I had this revelation. Okay. And the local ruler, you know, he said, you had done so good job here already that I don't care if you go to university, you are still going to get paid by us here. So I had full salary, and I could go there when I felt like it. and at the same time, I could go full time to be a student. I mean, if that was not the Lord, I don't know where you get that. All right? Wouldn't you say? Full salary. I didn't have any problem. Everything was resolved. When I left, they said, you can come in anytime you want. The door is always open. All our labs are for you. So, you know, I was doing pretty well, I would say. Wouldn't you say, to get the open door like that? All right? I didn't have time for that anymore. So in very short time, I got the job as a consultant with the government. I didn't need that anymore, and I finished my studies. Okay. But what I'm saying is, when God starts speaking to you, I mean, that was a crazy decision I made. Everybody else thought I was nuts. But he has spoken to me, and the fact that he has spoken to me, you know, was the fact that it was confirmed by the fact that he took care of all the detail as I obeyed. And so what happened is that what happened to that? The second step, you know, you love God. He gave you a revelation. He gave you a blessing. And you obeyed, and you get more blessed. I was already at the third floor. Okay? And you just keep going. And sometimes, you know, you're not going to be fast up, but it takes time. But that's the way God wants to work with everybody. Let's pray together. Praise you, Lord. Father, thank you for your love, for loving us to the point of guiding us, of helping us to grow closer to you, to become more and more separated from the world, and to care, to obey you, serve you, and get closer to you, to cling to you. And we praise you and thank you that you, the hope that we have in you is not going to disappoint us, but is going to get stronger as we are obedient and are we listening to you. In your guidance, to get closer to you. Help us to hear your voice and to obey. Thank you for everything that you have done and are going to do in our life. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.